Greetings, this is Nigeria, and you're listening to UrbanBuzzMag.com, and I have playwright Charles Curtis on the line with me. Charles, say hello.
How you doing, everybody?
All right, he just released a stage play called Strings, is that correct?
That is correct.
All right, so tell us how that came about.
Well, I knew I wanted to write a new play, but I kind of really didn't know where to go with all of it. So, given the climate of what's been going on, it's kind of been inspiring me to write this show that I'm kind of in the process of writing right now, which is called The People vs. Trayvon Martin and Other Nameless Black Men.
Mm.
Really, what this, that show, you know, what both of these shows really is about how it's interesting and a little more sad, how these lives of these black men across this country are being cut short, you know, and so much potential, so much life that has yet to be lived, so many dreams that have yet to be fulfilled, and all those kinds of things. And that's kind of where I started as the basis of writing this show. So in all of it, Strings just kind of came one day. And I put two men in the room, and I just kind of let my fingers do the talking, and here we are today.
Right.
But Strings is about a man who is set to be executed. And we later find out that the reason is because he killed a couple people, a couple more, like 13.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it's funny hearing him say the reason why he did all of this was to protect his neighborhood. There's a couple lines that says, now, imagine you were forced to sit and watch this neighborhood that you cared about wither and die, like watching cancer slowly kill someone you know.
Right.
What would you do? How far would you go? Not to seek revenge, but to seek justice.
Okay.
And that's kind of where I was in all of this, is that so many of our young brothers, so many of our young sons, you know, are being gunned down in the street, not just because of black-on-black crime, but because just living while black.
Okay. And I love this subject because, honestly, I was raised by a black male. I was raised by my dad. And so I have a totally different perspective on men as opposed to maybe women who were raised with their mothers, and seeing just my dad, you know, take on a role that some of the fathers today are not, and that's just taking care of their kids. Now, when we talk about black males and black youth, we're not going to clump them all together because it's not all of them. But what would you say is one crucial part that plays in a young black man's life that leads him to despair or to get into trouble? And what can we really do about that? And are you displaying that in your plays?
I am, actually. You know, one thing that we talk about in the show is how you make a decision in your life. You know, and that decision may be good or may not be as good, but you make a decision. You kind of stick with it. And then that decision turns into decision, you know, and then those decisions just kind of turn into a life. And I think that that's kind of what ends up happening with a lot of our youth, is that they make one bad decision, and based on that bad decision, they end up making several bad decisions. And then before you know it, you're kind of in too deep.
So what can we do then as elders, as mentors, as a people, to when they make that mistake, what would you say would be a crucial move for us to step in, as opposed to saying, oh my goodness, look at him walking with his pants down, and oh look, he's going to end up in jail? Or, you know, how do we as a community keep walking by the same corners, seeing the same drug dealers? How would you say we should address that? Because that's right outside. And so then when we hear of one getting shot, it's like, I passed him every day going to work. I passed them going to the store. I passed them going to the laundry. But yet, I didn't say anything. Or even his parents, and, you know, maybe his parents are on drugs or he don't have parents or whatever. But what would be a step for us to interact with these young men?
I think that the first thing we need to do is get rid of our fear.
Amen.
You know, it's funny. I was having a conversation with a guy about hip-hop theater, he said that the reason why he thinks hip-hop theater isn't really approachable is because people still have a fear of hip-hop. I think that carries on into our real lives. We as people of color, we still have a fear, you know, when associated with our youth. You know, we see the pants, or we see the attitude, or we see the kind of menacing grim, and we tend to be so fearful that we won't step in anymore.
Outside,
that we won't pull a teenager aside and say, you know, you know that what you're doing is wrong.
You're teaching right now. Go ahead.
You know that you don't have to live this life. Mm-hmm, you know, you don't mm-hmm. have to be this person. You know, and once we get rid of our fear, that's first and foremost, mm-hmm. then we can be courageous in saying, son, listen, you need to stop, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that once we get rid of that fear, that's our first step. And then the second thing is to say that it doesn't have to be a cycle.
Right.
Your daddy may be a deadbeat. Yeah, your granddaddy may be a deadbeat. Your great-granddaddy may be a deadbeat. That doesn't mean that you have to be one.
Right.
You know what? Just because you sold this today doesn't mean you have to do it tomorrow. Just because you stole today doesn't mean you have to steal tomorrow. You know, and understanding that, yes, you may have done some things that you're not proud of. I don't know anyone on God's green earth that is extremely proud of every decision they've ever made.
Preach.
But the difference between those people are that they made a decision that they were going to stop.
Mm.
They made a decision that today is going to be different, that tomorrow is going to be different. You know what? I may not have everything that I want. I may not be where I want to be, but I still make the choice every day to go after my dream.
Amen.
I make the choice every day not to do X, not to do Y, not to do Z. And it's in those moments, that's where we become successful. That turns a stumbling block into a stepping stone.
Jesus.
And so that's really where we need to go with this, is that understanding that it doesn't have to be tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do the same thing you're doing today tomorrow.
Right.
Same thing you did last week, you don't have to do it next month. Same thing you did last year, you don't have to be that same person.
Mm-hmm.
Always a chance to stop, but that time to stop has to be now. You can't wait till tomorrow. You can't wait till next week. You can't wait till next month. Because it's that one time you're walking home. That one time you're on the subway. That one time you're getting out of your car, or you're trying to park, or you're going to a party, or any of these things.
Mm.
Any harmless places. That could be the end.
Wow. Now tell me, how did you get into, you know, writing plays?
Well, believe it or not, I'm actually an opera singer.
All right.
And so I actually started my journey in the arts singing, and I found opera and I fell in love with it. I wanted to get more on-stage experience, and so I started acting. It's totally different, you know, being an opera singer and doing that and then just acting. You know, you don't have to worry about diction and foreign languages and all that
right.
other stuff. Just I concentrate on text and just being you. And so I started acting for a while, and then I got kind of good at it.
Mm-hmm.
The opportunities to direct. And when you start directing, then you start reading all these different plays and that kind of stuff. And so I thought, you know, I should try my hand at that.
Right.
And I did. And I wrote my first play.
Mm.
I wrote my second play.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was working with this great director, and she said, well, you know, Charles, we go to this National Black Theater Festival in North Carolina coming up. You should submit your work. And I'm like, you think is that good? I could submit my work. But I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I became one of 28 featured playwrights at this festival whose work was read at this festival. And then kind of from there, it just kind of just exploded from there. I started writing some more. Some colleges started commissioning me to write work, and I've been doing it ever since. And I've been really, really blessed
uh-huh.
to have people to do a lot of different things. And so here I am back in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Yonkers, and I went to school down south, and so spent a good bit of years down there. And I've been back in New York since last October, and I've just been hitting the ground running ever since.
Right, right. Now tell the people your ethnic background.
I am African American.
Right. Now tell them, how did you even become interested in opera as a young black male?
Well, it's kind of a funny story. I was a high school senior, and I was thinking, how in the world am I going to be able to afford this thing called college? And I sat down and I thought about it, and I said, you know what, if athletes can do it, you know, with their talent, why can't I use singing to kind of pay for my education?
Okay.
So I started doing a little bit of research, and I found out that one of the schools I was interested in had a music scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
And the grand prize was full tuition.
Wow.
You know, I never had a voice lesson before then, never had any real formal training in music. I just always loved to sing.
Right.
And so I asked my choral teacher to help me out with the audition material. And I got granted an audition, and I placed third, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was a $6,000 scholarship.
Wow. Wow. That's a testimony all in itself.
Right. And so, but the only thing was, you had to major in music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but in the learning of these pieces from our audition, you know, I'm learning Italian and I'm learning German. You know, you had to stand there and sing these pieces and learn all that stuff. I mean, it was just so interesting. You know, stuff that we never did.
Get exposed to.
But we never learned, you know. I was used to singing in churches and, you know, singing R&B and stuff like that. But it's a totally different beast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you start thinking about classical music, and then along the years you start researching and you start finding these old classical musicians, you know, the Denise Graves, you know, which is a more contemporary singer, and the Leontine Prices and the Paul Robesons. I mean, and you start to realize that we've been around.
That's right.
Black classical musicians have been around for decades, you know, centuries even, and I just kind of fell in love with it, you know, being able to do something that ordinarily we don't do.
Right.
And, you know, I had a great time. I still love doing it, you know, and it just kind of happened to be that this, the acting of it all kind of took over, and I've been running with that ever since.
How do you like acting now and being in front and behind the camera?
I still love being on stage. I do.
Okay.
But, you know, being able to see something that you wrote, you know, when you're sitting on your bed or on your couch or at your desk, and seeing it from the very first page to now seeing it live, acted, I mean, it's an incredible feeling.
Right.
I actors all the time. I'm your biggest cheerleader, you know.
Right.
This one lady came up to me. She said, I think I heard you in the booth behind me. You were shouting and cheering and all this other stuff. I tell them, I said, listen, I am more excited to see you do well than anyone ever could be in the audience.
Right.
It's kind of those aha moments, especially when you see an actor work on a part that they struggle. And they struggle for weeks. And then you're in rehearsal and it finally clicks to them. And then they finally get it. I mean, it's like watching magic. It literally is like watching magic up close.
Right. And tell me about the tenacity it takes to actually, you know, like you said, you saw the two gentlemen in your head, and then you wrote it down, and then it becomes life, and then you have to get it into a festival, and then it's on stage. Just kind of describe that for us, that process, for someone who may be interested in doing that so they don't quit, but that it is possible.
Well, the thing about being an artist is it is not for the faint of heart.
Okay.
I was watching this documentary one time, and it said at any given point in time there are over 100,000 students studying voice in America, and there are only 3,000 jobs available for those 100,000 students. I say that to say everybody wants to do it, and the thing about it is it doesn't have to be as difficult as we make it sometimes.
Right.
You know, we can just use a community center. I mean, that's where I got my first start. You know, I told this guy that I knew who had some space that I write and I wanted to do some stuff, and he offered it one day.
Wow.
You know, and you just got to keep pushing, and that's the thing. You know, for every 50 auditions you go to, you may only get booked once.
Right.
The thing about it, the key in all of this is to not hear the no, but only hear the yes.
Mm-hmm.
The yes is I got granted the audition.
Okay.
How many times you probably sent your materials in and didn't get an audition?
Mm-hmm.
First, you got to get the audition. Then the next thing you do is you got to you got to get the job. And then once you get the job, you got to do well at the job. You know, so you just got to keep pushing. Every day it's about, what can I do to get better? What can I do to get better?
Right.
I have this quote on my wall right now.
Mm.
And it stays on my wall and it says, this is me. I am who I say I am. I'll be who I say I'll be.
Right.
I can accomplish all things. And the only one stopping me
is me. That's right. That's
right. This is who I am. And so every day it's about getting better. Every day it's about being better at your craft. It's about maybe learning a new monologue or, you know, getting new headshots or trying to reach out to different people who do this. This is, you know, it isn't difficult, you know, once you've figured it out.
Right.
But the keys to all of this is, one, you got to network.
Yes.
You got to get to know people. You got to not be afraid to reach out or to send an email to Urban Buzz Mag and say, hey, this is who I am. And I have this great show.
That's right.
Every Saturday at the Davenport Theater on 45th Street. You got it. You can't be afraid.
That's right.
If this is what I want, if this is who I want to be, then every day it's about getting better. Every day it's about wanting it. And then every day you got to keep telling yourself, I'm worth it.
That's right.
I want it. And because I want it, I'm going to go after it.
That's good. That's good. How do you transcend from that, what you said, which is excellent, having that motivation, being able to press toward the mark, and then get to the place where you become the creator of the of your own situation, beginning to tell your story? And that's something that I'm really looking forward to seeing in 2015. You know, not to sound racist, but African Americans telling our story. And I don't mind Roots and all the other stories, but I want us to just move up just into the 2000s and really begin to just tell our stories, because there are some people doing some great, phenomenal things, and then sometimes we kind of get caught up in the negative. But what I like most about your package and what I saw was that you're not only telling a story, but you was attacking an issue. And that to me is important. So how do we transcend from going out to do so much to becoming the author, to becoming the producing a CD, producing a play?
I think the major thing about that is, if it's in you, it's in you.
Okay.
I mean, you can see it. And everybody has something in them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that thing in you is yet. I mean, it took me a long time. I mean, if you asked me 10 years ago if I would be producing plays, if I would be writing plays, I'd have laughed at you.
Right.
But if you told me 15 years ago that I'd be singing opera, you know, I would laugh even harder. You know, the thing is if it's in you, you just allow it to just be. Give it the space to be. And don't be afraid to let it out. Don't be afraid to let it shine.
Right.
I mean, because no one will know you are the best at this if you don't tell anybody.
My goodness.
You know, no one will know that there's this great producer, there's this great writer, there's this great singer or dancer or rapper or whatever. No one will know that if you don't open your mouth and say it.
Jesus. Mm-hmm.
But if you continue to say, oh, well, you know, well, I got bills to pay. We all got bills to pay.
Mm-hmm,
I got obligations. We all got obligations.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the difference between those people and you?
Mm-hmm.
People are unafraid. Those people say, I'm just going to be.
Wow.
You allow yourself to be. Because there will always be something about you. People meet me on the street and say, you know, there's just something about you. I don't even know what it is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
About you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I know you from somewhere. You know, you haven't even seen me.
Right.
I know you from somewhere. Have I seen you on TV or something? You know, and it's only after I make the connection that I'm a performer and a writer that they, oh, well, maybe I saw something. No, I just moved here. There's something about you. Well, listen, if there's something about me, good. I love it. Now, come see the show.
Right.
Or now, you know, and then that's the thing.
Yeah, I like what you said. When you said start out small, like a community center or something like that, because I think sometimes people get confused, because when they think about the big picture, they think about the big picture, but not the process.
Right. We all got to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I know for right now, I can't pack out the Beacon Theater, but that's okay.
Right.
I can start at the Davenport and be okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that I might not have $1 million budget right now, but I'll work on the couple dollars that I have in the meantime.
Right.
And I'm okay with that.
Right.
You know, but in the meantime, I'm not going to sweat the small stuff. So many times, you know, we want to say, oh, especially artists. You know, I was talking with an artist a couple months ago. He said the same thing. You know, I just feel like I should be so much further along. I should be doing so much more. I should have so much more. Listen, if you keep looking so far forward, you're never going to enjoy the present.
Right. Ooh, that's good.
You're never going to enjoy the present. You know, and the thing is that you need to remember you were better today than you were yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Be better next week than you were last month.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, just remind yourself to do better. Just remind yourself to be. And don't worry about the small stuff. Don't worry about 10 years from now. Don't worry about 20 years from now. Because believe it or not, there are people that are deciding that they want to be actors at age 50.
Right.
So this one lady, Miss Pat, I love Miss Pat. Miss Pat actually retired from the military. And after she retired from the military, she decided, you know what? I want to act.
Mm-hmm.
I have been trying to work with this woman for the past 2.5 years, but she is always booked for work.
Wow.
Always booked. Like, she is always working.
Wow.
This woman retired from the military. So she put that many amount of years in to retire. And then after she retired, decided, you know what? I'm going to act. Now, people can start acting at age whatever. If Ms. Pat can do it, having served her country proudly for over 20 years,
mm-hmm.
then you, in your mid-20s, your mid-30s, your mid-40s, can say, I'm going to let my dream happen now.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to let age be my deciding factor. I'm not going to let my weight be a deciding factor. My family be a deciding factor, or, you know, any of these things that we put in our way.
Right.
I'm going to do it. I'm just going to be.
Mm.
Maybe I can't afford some high-priced studio time, but I know somebody that does a little something, and, you know, I'll put a little mixtape together.
Right, right.
I'll make some CDs and I'll pass them out in Times Square.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and it's people doing it. You talking real talk.
You know, I might not have $250 to get brand new headshots, but I know somebody with a good camera.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I know somebody that know how to Photoshop some stuff for me.
Okay.
Now, I might not have the Adobe Photoshop, but, you know, I got PowerPoint presentation.
Right.
Get a little fly or something.
That's right. That's right.
You know, you got to be where you are and be okay with that.
Mm.
It's once we start thinking, oh, you know, well, I got to be this. I got to have this. I'm not where I'm at. If you always keep thinking about what you don't have, you'll never be grateful for what you do.
My goodness. My goodness. Ooh, Charles, you going in. All right, well, tell people the name of your play, where they can come see it, you know, give them your social media.
Well, again, my name is Charles Curtis. I am writer and director and producer and / of Strings, a new play that is at the Davenport Theater, which is located 354 West 45th Street. Tickets are $20. The most inexpensive off-Broadway show you can see, and in my opinion, the best.
Mm-hmm.
It is almost every Saturday at 3 p.m. at the Davenport, 354 West 45th Street. You can purchase tickets by going online to smarttix.com, smarttix.com, or by going to my website, charlescurtis.webs.com. And you can be my fan on Facebook if you'd like. Feel free. And that's how to get in contact with me. Again, my name is Charles Curtis. I'm writer and director and producer of Strings. New play at the Davenport.
Wow.
Saturdays 3 p.m.
Well, I'm definitely going to get a chance to come down there and check you out.
Yeah, so we're having fun. It's a great show, not because I wrote it, but because I have an amazing cast and crew helping out.
Mm-hmm.
And they blow my mind every week, every single week. I couldn't even tell you.
Wow. Wow. Well, I'm super excited for you. I thank you so much for just, you know, speaking with me and, You know, all you performing artists and artists that's out there listening to this, please take heed to what this man said, and you will be on your path to success and accomplishing those things that you have so wanted to in your heart. And you got to listen to our key players. And Charles Curtis is truly a key player that just dropped y'all some jewels to be steadfast in what it is you want to do. Take those chances. Come out yourself. Stop blocking your own self. Right, Charles?
That's the word.
All right. Well, I thank you so much again for stopping by.